as I share God's word today, I want to read first of all a portion of scripture. It's found in 1 John chapter 1 John 3 and verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And my theme today is about the wonderful love of God. And not just so much about the wonderful love of God that he should love us, but it's the very fact that we in return can love him. Came about with me reading the words of a hymn a couple of weeks ago, and I've been going a lot through the older hymns at this moment and touched on some of them in the devotions, and I perhaps will yet touch on more in the future, because there are so many hymns that are so powerful and challenging to us in our Christian walk. And it's actually found in the infant dedication and children section, and it's that hymn, "It is a thing most wonderful." And I want to read the words of this hymn through. "It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know that it is true. He came to this poor world below and wept and toiled and mourned and died only because he loved us so. I cannot tell how he could love a child so weak and full of sin. His love must be most wonderful if he could die my love to win. It is most wonderful to know his love for me so free and sure, but 'tis more wonderful to see my love for him so faint and poor. And yet I want to love thee, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart, and I will love thee more and more till I see thee as thou art." I looked for that hymn on the internet, but every version that I found, so many of the words were different. And it's these words that I wanted to relate to this morning. I want to read some other verses of scripture from 1 John 4. First of all, from verse 19, and then from verse 10. Verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Verse 10, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then John 3:16, that well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I think that it's possible that we can get so wrapped up in this modern world in which we're living in that God can so easily be pushed to one side. We are already seeing it in the nations of the world, where we are discovering that the nations no longer seem to be wanting God, and he is being pushed to one side. And we who claim to be the children of God, who claim to know him and love him, we need to ensure that we don't push God to one side. And we could ask the question, well, how is that going to happen? And I want to suggest that in the day in which we're living in, it can so easily happen, especially during this pandemic. We may find that we're beginning to spend less time in his word. And as it is at this moment, we're not able to spend time in fellowship and to be with other believers. And so instead, we can begin to fill up that time that would have been spent in fellowship with other things that are unimportant and irrelevant. And a good question to ask at this time, to analyse where we are, is this: how eager am I to get back into fellowship with other believers? Or even, how much of my time is divided up according to my relationship with God and everything else that takes up my attention? And as I'm sharing this word, I'm speaking to my own heart as well. I think we would agree together that we are living in difficult days. We are living in dark days. But I also want to suggest that I believe that we are living in dangerous days. Because if there is anything the devil would love to do at this time of pandemic, it is to try to break down or break up the fellowship we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would love to damage or to destroy our personal walk and relationship with God. And there are many ways in which we can seek to prevent this from happening. We can ensure that we are regularly reading the Word of God and subscribing to some daily devotions or readings to help us. And it doesn't have to be the devotions I'm sending out every day, although I hope that they are being used by some. We can ensure that we are spending time in prayer. We can ensure that we're spending time perhaps listening to some worship music. And of course, by the means of this video that we send out week by week to enable us to keep connected in some way. And these are all good ways to help us to manage both our time and our ongoing relationship with God, our Saviour. But I want to add another way, something simple and yet profound, and it's built on the words of that hymn that I've already read and the scriptures that I've read. And it is quite simply this: it is to make sure that we keep in love with Jesus. Keep reminding ourselves of the love of God. Keep reminding ourselves that it has cost a great price to bring us into this wonderful relationship that we have with the eternal God as our heavenly Father. Consider what it says in verses 2 and 3 of this hymn. I cannot tell how he could love a child so weak and full of sin. His love must be most wonderful if he could die my love to win. It is most wonderful to know his love for me so free and sure, but 'tis more wonderful to see my love for him so faint and poor. God has loved us with an everlasting love. We've already been reminded of that with the hymn that we've had in this video before communion. He has loved us with an unconditional love. He loved us despite of whatever we may have been. And yet he loves us too much to allow us to stay as we were. His love provokes us to love him back. And verse 4 of the hymn says, my love for him so faint and poor, and yet continues with verse 5, and yet I want to love thee, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart, and I will love thee more and more until I see thee as thou art. There's the words of another hymn, a famous hymn that comes to my mind, when I survey the wondrous cross, and to the end of that hymn it comes, and love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I wonder, how often do we tell someone that we love them? Maybe our partner, it may be our children, maybe our parents, and we regularly tell them that we love them. I've told you before, perhaps I can't remember, that when my mother took ill back in 2003, and she was very ill, and it was just a few months later that she died. But you know, I saw her in the hospital being transferred from one hospital to another, and as she was there in that hospital, I suddenly remembered that I couldn't remember when it was that I last told her that I loved her. It was so long back, such a long time ago. I couldn't remember hearing my mum tell me that she loved me. And I went into that ambulance and I grabbed hold of my mother's hand and I said, "Mum, I love you." And she responded and said to me, "I love you too." And in the few months that she had left, every time that I visited her, I made sure that I told my mum that I love her. It's important, isn't it? And we like to be told that we're loved. And we love to tell those that we love them. But I want to ask this question today. How often do you tell Jesus that you love him? How often do you tell your Heavenly Father that you love him? He's loved us with an everlasting love. He loved us despite of whatever we were, and his love keeps on being shed abroad in our hearts. And he deserves to have our love shown back towards him. And he deserves to hear us telling him we love him. I've already said that we're living in difficult and dark and dangerous days. And they are. And even though the virus will eventually pass, the days will still be difficult and dark. For we who are the people of God, we who want to live our lives according to the Bible, his book, and his instructions, are slowly becoming an unwanted community. Therefore, I really believe with all of my heart that we need to walk close, more closely with God than ever before. We will need to feel his love more than ever before as the world begins to hate us more. Let's make sure we love him back. Let's ensure that we remain in his warm embrace. Tell him that you love him with your lips, but as well, show him that you love him by the way that you live your life. The song that we're going to close this video with was one of those hymns that was one of my favourites when I was a teenager, for I could never sing it without a challenging conviction in my heart. It is a hymn that has helped to shape me and to ensure that I've kept close in my walk with Jesus. It is that hymn, "O Thou Who Camest From Above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart." We're going to close with this song, and in this video it is sung to the tune "Hereford," named after my home city, but I actually prefer it to the tune "Wilton," as found in the Redemption Hymnal. But that's not what is important. What matters are the words. "Kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart." The verse that we've read from 1 John 4:10 says this: "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We didn't love God. We couldn't care about God. We had no time for God. And yet he loved us. But once we have come to know his love, we must love him back. How well is that flame of sacred love kindling on the altar of your heart? How well is it kindling in my heart? See, the flame of sacred love is a love that leads us to love one another. It is a love that leads us to love the lost and the unlovely. It is a love that causes us to love the things of God, that is his word, prayer, fellowship. It is a love that should cause us to want to live for him and serve him. And it is a love that should cause our love for God to grow deeper. In a farmhouse that I grew up in, we had a Raeburn and open fires, and it was one of my jobs every day to make sure that there was enough wood brought up from the wood shed into the house to keep those fires burning. No wood, no fire. That meant no wood, no fire, no warmth. And sometimes the fire would go out. Maybe the wood had been laid wrongly. Or sometimes it was because the damp wood was too damp and wet. And sometimes it would burn well, and then the fire would just fade to a few embers in the bottom. And we would have to blow into it. And we'd have to cause a draft, or hold a newspaper across the front of the fire for a draft to be blown through and up to the chimney. And the embers would be rekindled, and the fire would begin to glow again. What about the flame of sacred love upon the altar of our hearts? Have we allowed the flames to dwindle till all that's left is a little bit of ember? Or maybe perhaps we've allowed it to go out. We filled our lives with damp wood, wet wood. May we allow the God who loved us enough to send his only Son to save us, to come and to blow over the altar of our hearts again, to rekindle the flame, to fan it into life again, so that we may for his glory burn with inextinguishable blaze. It's verses 3 and 4 of this hymn that were the verses that really challenged me as a young person. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still, let me guard the holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death thy endless mercy seal and make the sacrifice complete. Still let me guard the holy fire. May that be the prayer and the desire of each one of us, that our love for God, our love for his word, our love for fellowship with his people, our love for his will, our love for his service will never go out. We will guard that fire and allow it to keep burning, to keep being ablaze, so that it will burn with unextinguishable blaze. There is nothing like a fire to get the attention of people. And when I was a lad, there were a number of farm fires in our locality, and from where we lived, even though the farms might have been the other side of the hill, we could see the glow in the sky, and word would soon get round that there was a farm, and the farmers would all get there and ring to see if there's anything they could do to help to save anything in the farm. And in 1981, a fire broke out on our farm, and in no time at all, the neighbours were there coming to help, to see what they could do to help save the machinery, to save the animals and to save the foodstuffs in the building. The fire caught their attention. And I want to suggest that we need to be so in love with Jesus. We need to allow the fire of sacred love to be so kindled, so much ablaze on the altar of our hearts, that it will catch the attention of those around us. And they themselves will be drawn to discover the wonderful love of God and have the same fire blazing on the altar of their hearts as well. It is a thing most wonderful. The love of God is so wonderful. It's so awesome. It's so amazing. It's so immense. It's so magnificent. It's almost too wonderful to be. And yet it is. He came. He loved us with an everlasting love. Let us be sure we will love him back wholeheartedly and unreservedly. And may our love be such that we will guard that fire on the altar of our hearts, that nothing we will be allowed into our lives to extinguish it, to put it out, but that we would just have that desire for it to burn more strongly, more fiercely, more fervently. Because as he's loved us, we want to love him more. Yet, I want to love him more. O light the flame within my heart, and I will love thee more and more, until I see thee as thou art. There was a song, a chorus really, that was became very familiar a number of years ago, and it was quite simply this: I just keep falling in love with him, over and over, over and over again. His love gets sweeter and sweeter as the time goes by. There's none so happy as my Lord and I. I just keep falling in love with him, over and over and over and over again. Let's make sure that we keep falling in love with him, over and over, over and over again. We tell those we love that we love them, and we show them that we love them by the things that we say and the things that we do. Likewise with our Heavenly Father, likewise with our Lord and Saviour. Let's show him, let's tell him by the things we say and the things we do that we love him with all of our hearts. May God help us. May God bless us. In Jesus' name.